Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chagiga Daf Chaf. Hey, we left off on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and is also sponsored by, I forgot to pull it up, It is also sponsored by Seymour Gertz in memory of his mother, Margalit Bas Rav Shilum Aleha Shalom Zyartzeit is Zayin Adar Beis, and the Shabbat Shav and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So today we're going to pivot a little bit. We've been discussing the Chomer B'Kodesh M'B'Truma, those Chomers that Kodesh has over Truma, and today the Mishnah is going to switch that around and start talking about the Chomers that Truma has over Kodesh as far as the Dinim of Tuma and Tahara are concerned. And then the Gemara is going to talk about why we only trust the Tahara of wine or oil from Yehuda and not from Galil. We're going to say that we trust, as far as Kodesh is concerned, wine that comes from Ame'ah, from Yehuda, but not from Galil. The Gemara is going to discuss what the difference is between Yehuda and Galil in that regard. Then the Gemara is going to quote a stira, whether Amei Aretz are believed about Tahara Satruma, and we're going to have two answers to that stira, but one of them is going to be rejected about whether Amei Aretz are believed about Tahara Satruma. Then we're going to talk about whether a Chaver can hold on to the produce until the time that an Amei Aretz is believed, meaning there are times of the year that an Amei Aretz is believed about the Tahara of the produce. But let's say the Amaretz produces it at a time that he's not believed. So can the Chaver say, okay, I'll take it, and then just hang on to it until the time where the Amaretz would be believed, and then say, okay, so now it's tar, because now there's no Gezeira Midrabanan that not to believe the Amaretz at this time. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether Ne'emanus in one area of Tahara will carry over to other areas of Tahara. Meaning, do we say Mitoch? Do we say Mitoch that he's believed about this section of the Taroves, so he's believed about the entire Tahara? Even though the other section on its own, he would not necessarily have been believed about. And then the Gemara is going to talk about when the Amaretz is believed about Taharas HaTruma, do we also believe him about the Kadim that the Truma comes in, meaning about the containers, the jugs that hold the Truma. So in those times of the year where we're going to believe the Amaretz about the Tahara of the Truma itself, do we also believe the Amaretz about the Tahara of the utensils that the Truma comes in? So let's begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chaf Dalid Amud Beis. So generally speaking, the rule is that an Amaretz is not believed that he protected himself or his objects or his food b'tahara, because we assume an Amaretz is not sufficiently familiar with the rules of Tumah and Tahara, and therefore he doesn't know how to be careful about it. However, there are certain cases where an Amaretz is believed about Tahara. So that's what our Mishnah is going to highlight, and particularly what our Mishnah is going to highlight is Chomer B'Truma, a certain Chomer that Truma has that Kodesh does not have. So there's a din in Taharas HaTruma that's more chamur than Taharas HaKodesh, and that is Shebi Yehuda Ne'emanim Al Taharas Yain V'Shemen Kol Yimos Hashana. When it comes to in Yehuda, which is a certain section of Eretz Yisrael, Amei Aretz are believed to say that they watched over the Tahara of Yain and Shemen of Kodesh throughout the entire year. If it's Kodesh, they're believed to say throughout the entire year that it's Tahar, and they could bring it to the Beis HaMikdash if they're Makdash the Yain and the Shemen when they're allowed to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, because if we don't accept the Kodesh from them, then everyone's going to go build a Bama Liatzmo, and they're going to be Makrav over there on their own Bama. So therefore, they made a Takana that we're allowed to believe Amei Aretz when it comes to Kodesh B'Shas Hagitos, and at the time that they press the grapes to make wine V'Abadim, and at the time of the season of the year where they press the olives to make oil, then afala truma. Then not only are they believed about the Tahara of Kodesh, they're even believed about the Tahara of Truma. But therein lies the Chumrah, right? Meaning when it's not Shas HaGitos and Shas HaBadim, we don't believe them about Tahara HaTruma. We only believe them about Tahara HaKodesh. So Tahara HaKodesh we believe them about throughout the year. Tahara HaTruma we're only going to believe them about at Shas HaGitos and Shas HaBadim. So Avru HaGitos HaBadim, if the time of the Gitos and the Badim, the time of pressing wine and oil has passed, Vivilo Chavish Shal Yayin Shal Truma, and the Amaretz brings to the Kohen a barrel of Truma wine, Lo Yikablena Mimenu. The Kohen cannot accept it from him with the assumption that it's Truma Tahora, because Amei Aretz are not believed on the Tahara when it's not the Shas HaGitos V'Abadim. In the rest of the days of the year that's not Shas HaGitos V'Abadim, you have to assume that it's at least Safek Tamei. Aval, but here's what the Kohen can do. Aval, or what the Amaretz can do. Aval Manicha Lagas Haba'a. The Amaretz could just hang on to that oil, or hang on to that wine until next year's pressing season. season, and then he's going to be believed that it's tar, and then the Kohen is going to be allowed to receive it from him because he's believed at that time of the year. So the Amorah should just hang on to it and present it to the Kohen at a later in the next year's season, and that will be then he'll be believed. So the Rambam writes, even though the Kohen, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Mishkov Tumas Mishkov Moshav Parikid Aleph Halacha Beis, even though the Kohen knows that this barrel is not from this year, that this barrel is from a previous year, you could be mekabel from it from him right now, because the chum were not kozer tuma outside of the during the shasagitos. So even though he knows that this isn't this year's stuff, this is last year's stuff, and it's from after the shasagitos, you're still allowed to believe him. You're still allowed to trust him, and that's what Tosfos writes in Dibra Maschul Shabiyuda as well, and that's what seems to be explicit in a Tosefta. The Meiri quotes a machlokas about this, but that's a simple pshat that even though you know that this came from a time that was not Shasagitos Vabadim, but since he's presenting it to you at a time that is Shasagitos Vabadim, you're allowed to take it. V'amar lo, if the Amaret says to the Kohen, Hifrashi L'toch Revi'is Kodesh, oh, if the Amaret presents Truma to the Kohen, and he says, by the way, I put into this Truma a Revi'is of Kodesh Neman, then he is believed about the Tara of the barrel, because since he's Neman on the Taras HaKodesh of the barrel, he's Neman on the Taras HaTruma. Remember, he's believed throughout the year about Kodesh. He's only believed at certain times of the year of Truma. So what if he presents at a time of the year where he's not believed about Truma, a combination of Kodesh and Truma? He's presenting a mixture of Kodesh and Truma. So you believe him about the Kodesh, but it's impossible that the Kodesh is Tahar and the Truma is Tameh. So therefore, since Mitoch, that you're believing him about the Kodesh, Mimela, that Ne'amanus carries over to Truma as well. It's interesting, Rashi writes that if Mamarlo of Rashi Lutocha Revius, what's a Revius? Rashi writes, Revius Halug of Shemen, that it's if he says that I put a revius haluk of shemen of kodesh into this barrel. So Cheshek Soma writes that Rashi Dafka gives the example of shemen, that he put shemen, even though the Mishnah previously was talking about hiviu lo chavis shel yayin. So it's a little bit odd, right? The case was, if he brings you chavis shel yayin shel truma, you cannot take it from him. But if he puts in revius into that of kodesh, then you can take it. Naturally, you would assume that it means you put a revius of a yayid of Kodesh into it, then you're allowed to take it from him. So why would Rashi say Shemen? So the Cheshek Shlomo points out that what Rashi's really trying to do is he's trying to answer Tosas Kasha. Tosas has a Kasha that a Kohen is not allowed to eat Truma because of the Kodesh HaMe'urav. But if you have Truma that has Kodesh actually mixed in with it, then it's of no value to the Kohen. The Kohen can't eat it. It has Kodesh in it. So if it has Kodesh in it, he's not allowed to have that Truma. So that's why Rashi says, no, it's a Chavish Shal Yayin of Truma that has Shemen Kodesh mixed in. Shemen is not really going to mix in with the Yayin. It's Shemen's going to float above the Yayin. So therefore, the Kohen will be able to skim off the Shemen and keep that as Kodesh, and he'll be able to drink the Yayin. That's Dafka why Rashi said that it's Shemen that was put into the Chavis Shel Yayin. And then Cheshek Shlomo suggests, alternatively, Rashi wrote that the Revius is Revius Halug of Shemen because Stam Revius in Shas is always the Revius Halug. And the Shir of Yayin L'Nesachim is no less than 3 Lugin, which is a Revius Ahin. So Rashi says that it must be that it's a Revius Halug Shemen, because the Shir Revius Halug of Shemen we find by Rekike Nazir. But by Yayin, you're never going to have a Revius Halug that ever matters, that ever makes a difference as far as Kodesh is concerned. The Turi Evan suggests that it seems that a Revius over here must mean a Revius Ahin, like the Shir of Niske Yayin. And he quotes Rashi, who says Revius Halug, but Pashas over here, it must be Revius Ahin. Now, the Tosis Kasha is still a Kasha, meaning Tosis Kasha, Cheshek Shlomo think Rashi is trying to answer Tosis Kasha, but Lechora, Tosis Kasha is a strong Kasha, right? That if you're Mafrish Latoch Lechavis or Revius of Kodesh, so how does that help the Kohen? The Kohen is not allowed to eat it. There's Kodesh mixed in with it. So again, Cheshek Shlomo said that's what Rashi was answering, that Yayin and Shemen don't mix, and therefore you're able to separate out the Yayin from the Shemen. Tosis Maseches Chulin, Daf Lamed Hei and Beis, says a different answer. He says, no, the case is, the guy says, Revius Shani Yasa Lahafrish Me'achavis Harei Kodesh. He has not yet declared the Revius as Kodesh. He says, whatever Revius I take out from this Chavis, that's going to be Kodesh. And then when he's Mafrish it, it turns out, using Breira, that Revius was Kodesh the whole time. And the rest is only Truma. So it doesn't, the Kohen is not taking any risks by benefiting from this wine, because the Revius that he ultimately is Mafrish from it becomes Kodesh. And we could still assume the care that's taken about Taras HaKodesh, that there the Kodesh remains Tahar. So that's the rule in the Mishnah. So again, the rule in the Mishnah is that you're not allowed to believe the Amaretz about Truma except for the Shas HaGitos V'Abadim. If he presents Truma to you when it's not the Shas HaGitos V'Abadim, you have to assume that it's problematic, but he can hang on to it until the next Shas HaGitos V'Abadim and present it to you. Or if he says, by the way, I threw some Kodesh in there also, then you're allowed to believe him, because he's believed about Kodesh throughout the entire year. So once you're going to believe him about the Kodesh that's in there, you're allowed to believe him about the Truma that's in there as well. Another din that Amei Aretz are believed about Tara, Kadei Yayin v'Kadei Shemen Hamedumaos. If you have jugs of Yayin and oil that are mixed in with Chulin and Truma together, so Ne'manim Aleim. The Amei Aretz are believed about the Kadim and about their contents to say that they're Torah, B'shas Gitos v'abadim, provided that it is the time of Gitos and Badim, because we know that we believe them about Truma b'shas Gitos v'abadim, so now they're giving you a mixture of Truma and Chulin, you're allowed to believe them about the Chulin as well b'shas HaGitos v'abadim, the Kodim l'Gitos Shivim Yom. And not only that, even before the Shas HaGitos, for 70 days they're believed about the Tahara of the Kadim themselves, because from that time already they're preparing their Kalim in order for it to be ready for the Shas HaGitos V'Abadim, in order to be ready for the pressing of the grapes and the pressing of the olives. And therefore they're makbid already 70 days in advance to be Shomer B'Tahara, to make sure that everything is done B'Tahara. So now, says Gemara, wait a second. The Mishnah started off by saying that Amaretz is Neman about Taras Yayin and Shemen of Kodesh throughout the year, B'Yehuda. Why do we have to highlight that it's Dafka, that they're Neman B'Yehuda? B'Yehuda in B'Galil Lo. Sounds like they're only believed in Yehuda. But in Galil, the Amei Aretz are not believed. So ask the Gemara, my taima, why is it that we wouldn't believe Amei Aretz in Galil while we do believe them in Yehuda? So Amrei Shlakish, Mnei Shiretzua, Shel Kutim, Afsekes Beinehem. No, because geographically, there was a strip of land where Kutim lived that was Mafsik between Yehuda and Galil. So the Chamur Gozer, there is a rule that Chamur Gozer in Eretz Ha'amim, that Eretz Ha'amim is Tameh, that outside of Eretz Yisrael has Tumah. So if someone wants to go from Galil to Yehuda, because they have to, that's where Yerushalayim is. You want to bring something to the Beis HaMikdash, you got to go to Yehuda. So if someone wants to travel from Galil to Yehuda, he's going to have to pass through that Ritzua. He's going to have to pass through that strip of land that has Tumah. So now he's going to become Tameh. His Kalim are going to be, everything's going to become Tameh, but Tumah, Seretz Ha'amim. And Mela, he's not going to be able to get from Galil to Yehuda, even wine and shemen of Nanamei Aretz, even Chaverim's Yayin v'Shemen can't be brought to the Beis HaMikdash for Nisachim from Galil to Yehuda, because it's going to become Tameh as you pass through that Ritzua of land. This idea of Eretz Ha'amim being Tameh is not only about that strip of land, it's all of Chutz La'aretz is Tameh, and the reason for the Gzeira is because the Nachrim are Mezalzel in Mesim, and they bury them wherever they want to bury them. So there were a lot of different madregos of the chumrah of this gezerah, until at the end there chumra goes there that even the avir of Eretz Ha'amim is tameh. So someone who sticks out Rosh of Arubo to Eretz Ha'amim becomes tameh. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us in Daf Tezvav that if a person is in Eretz Yisrael and then he like leans out and he sticks Rosh of Arubo out into Eretz Ha'amim, just being in the airspace, floating in the airspace of Eretz Ha'amim is metamehim. A person who touches Eretz Ha'amim or carries the offer of Eretz Ha'amim is an avatuma, as if he became tameh to a mace. The avir of Eretz Ha'amim is not metameh to a mace, you only need a tevila, but nevertheless, that's the tumah of Eretz Ha'amim. Tosav here raises the question that, wait a second, how did the B'nai Galil be Ola L'Regel then? Meaning, in order to get to Yehuda, you have to pass through this Ritzua of land that has tumah, so how were they Ola L'Regel? They became Tameh b'tumas meis as they were traveling through. So Tosas leaves it as a kasha. Tosas says, I don't know how they managed to be Ola L'Regel. So a number of the Achronim try to answer the kasha, and they suggest that maybe in a chinami they were Ola L'Regel a week early to give themselves time to be metire themselves by the time after they arrived in Yehuda. Bigzein a chinami they were Tameh when they were Ola L'Regel. But anyway, that's why we highlight B'Yehuda as opposed to Galil. In Galil, there's no Nemanus, not because they're not Neman, because we don't trust them, but because it's impossible. It's impossible for them to bring the Yayin v'Shemen b'Tahara from Galil to Yehuda. So ask the Gemara, why is it impossible? I have an idea. V'Nesiv b'Shita Tevu Migdal. Why don't they put it inside a box, a wooden box, and these are three different types of boxes, the Shita Tevu Migdal, and carry it it through the airspace, and then the kad of yayin and shemen is not going to become tamei when it goes through that ritzua, because they're not, these boxes are not mekabel tuma, so they'll form an ohel, they'll be mafsik bifnei atuma. So even though the land is tamei, it's not going to be metamei into the box. So says Mar Hamani Rebbe he damar ol zaruk lav shmei ohel, because we're assuming like the sheet of Rebbe that a moving ohel does not constitute an ohel. So what's your suggestion, that you put the yayin and the shemen in a box, and the bottom of the box will form an ohel and will stop the tumah from penetrating into the contents of the box? Doesn't work if it's moving. If the ohel is moving, it doesn't work to be mafsik b'fnei ha'tumah. It's not going to be chotzitz b'fnei ha'tumah of the avir of eretz ha'amim. Now that's how Rashi explains. It does not mean to say that the avir, I mean, when we say that the avir of eretz ha'amim is tamei, it clearly doesn't mean that the avir itself is tamei. There's a tzad in Maseches Nazir, that's what it means, because if that were the case, then even if Ohel Zorok were Shmei Ohel, it's still in the airspace of Eretz Ha'am and would have been Tamei anyway. Now what it means is that there were gozer on the Gush and the Avir, meaning that even someone who only passes through the Avir, because the ground is Tamei, that even if he's not touching the ground, he's Tamei Tumas Ohel by being above the ground. But it really emanates, the Tumas Avir Eretz Ha'amim really emanates from the ground of Eretz Ha'amim. But anyway, so Shita Teva Migdal is only not an Eitzah because we assume, like Rebbe, that an Ohel Zaruk is not a valid Ohel. Tanya Nichnas Eretz Ha'amim B'Shita Teva Migdal. If a person goes into Eretz Ha'amim inside of a box, Rebbe Mitami, Rebbe Yosef Yehuda Mitayer. Rebbe is Mitami because the Ohel Zaruk is not called an Ohel, and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda is Mitayer because the Ohel Zaruk is called an Ohel. So that's a question: could an Ohel Zaruk function as an Ohel? I don't know if they still have it, but someone told me that they used to have by the oil, by the Rebbe, they used to have boxes for Kohanim to be able to go through. Anyone know they still have such? Yeah. What? They used to have it. Eric Cohn said that on his Chasna day, someone brought him, and he said, "The day I go into a cemetery in a box, it's going to be the other way." But if there's such a okay, so that's the question: does an Ohel Zaruk work as an Ohel? So the Gemara asks. So there's still another way. Okay, Ohel Zaruk maybe doesn't work. There's still another way you could transport the Yain and the Shemen Betara from the Galil. Why don't you put it inside of a Klicheres and then seal the top of the Kli Cheres, and that will be Chotitz B'fnei HaTumah. It can't penetrate the Kli Cheres. So Reb Lezer shown in Ein HaKodesh Nitzol B'Tzamid Pasil is a special din that the Tanoim taught in a Braisa, that something that's Kodesh is not saved from Tumah in a Tzamid Pasil. The Chamor goes there that they're not going to be saved from Tumah in a sealed Cheres container because of a Gzeira Mishum Chatos, that the Chatos Min HaTorah is not saved B'Tzamid Pasil, meaning the Efer Chatos Min HaTorah is not saved from Tumah with the Tzamid Pasil, and therefore you can't save the Ayin and Shemen Betari either, Midrabanan, from Tumas HaGalil, from the Tumah of the Ritzua that separates the Galil from Yehuda either. So ask the Gemara Tanya, in Chatos Nitzan B'Tzamid Pasil, my Lava Kodesh Nitzal, wait a second, no, we only learned that the Efer Paraduma cannot be protected by a Tzamid Pasil, but doesn't that indicate that it's Dafka, the Efer Paraduma, that cannot be protected by a Tzamid Pasil, but Kodesh can be protected by a Tzamid by its own pasil? So it says, well, no, it's the wrong diuk to make. The diuk to make is that dafka by chatas, that they already mekadish it with the efer chatas, is not nitzol b'tzamid pasil. Hamayim she'ena mekudashim nitzolim b'tzamid pasil. The diuk to make is that the water that you fill up for use of the efer chatas, but has not yet been mekudash with the placement of the ashes of the paraduman, that is protected by its own pasil. So to protect the water as an ingredient that you're going to use to eventually mix with the Efer Chatos, you could put it in a Kli Cheres that's sealed. But to but Eina Chinami, when it comes to Kodesh, we're Machmir Midrabanan, not a Dindoraisa, but Midrabanan, we're Machmir, that it's something Pasil is not going to protect. So it says Gemara, wait a second, still, how could you say it's not possible to bring Yain and Shem and Betara from Galil to Yerushalayim? So far we had two challenges. We said, why can't you just do it by bringing it in a wooden box? We said a wooden box doesn't help, it's no Ohel Zaruk. Why can't you just do it by putting it in a Kli Cheres that's Mukav Tzamid Pasil? Not going to work because Midrabanan, it's not going to save it from Tumah. But says Gemara, V'amar Ula, Chavraya Mitkan B'Galila. The Chaverim in Galil would make their Yain and the Shemen B'Tara in order to bring them to Mizbeach. So apparently, this is not an explanation of how it worked, but it's just a statement that it worked. that we have a brisa, a tradition that they used to bring from Galil. So they would make things betar in Galil, and then it was made for the purpose of the mizbeach. How do they do that if it's impossible? So it says Mar Manichin Ksheva Eliyahu Yitarena. They had such a muna. They would make everything betahara, and they waited, and they assumed that when Mashiach would come in, Eliyahu Hanavi would tell them where they can go through, where there's a passageway, where there's no tumah, that they would then bring it. But they never actually brought it to the Beis Hamikdash because they couldn't, because it wasn't. They were always concerned about that ritzua of land. Okay, then the Mishnah went on to say, "B'shas Hagitos Ne'amana Mafal Truma," that at the Shas Hagitos, the Amay Oretz are believed not only about Kodesh, which they're always believed about, but they're also believed about the Tara of Truma. So ask the Gemara. We said that Amay Oretz are Ne'amana the Tara at Shas Hagitos Vabadim Ureminhi, but we ask you, Steve, from the Seches Taros, that it says Hagomer Zesav Yeshayer Kupa Achas V'Yitnena Lani Kohen, that if a person finishes pressing his olives and he wants to, you know, to, he brings his olives to the Beis Chabad, to the olive press, he should leave one box of olives that go unpressed and give it to a Kohen who's an Ani, that Kohen who's an Ani should make Shemin from it, so the Kohen should be able to know that those Zesim were never Huchshal Lekabotum in the first place, so he knows that those Zesim are perfectly Tahar, and therefore the Kohen himself will be able to make oil with those Zesim, with that one box of olives that you left unpressed. You give it to the Kohen, he'll make oil himself, Bitahara, and then you'll use those that oil as Truma for all the rest of your oil. Why does the Mishnah say that the Amaretz has to leave over a box to give to the Kohen Bitahara, and that's the only way he's going to have Truma Torah that's going to work? Why don't you just say that B'shas HaGitos V'Abadim, the Amaretz is going to be believed? So just give it to, just press all your oil, and that Shas HaBadim, give it to the Kohen, and then give the Truma to the Kohen, and you're going to be believed. So the Gemara has two answers. Answer number one, Amar Rav Nachum lo kasha. Haba charfi, haba afli. When the Mishnah says that the Amar Aretz is believed, that's talking about if you press the olives in the Beis Habad at an early time of the pressing season, that's when the Amar Aretz are believed. Whereas the Mishnah that says, no, your only eitzah is to give olives to the Kohen and let the Kohen press his own olives before they ever hukshul the Kabbal Tumah, that's talking about late in the pressing season, when already most of the people have already pressed their olives and there's no automatic Ne'amanus at that time. Amalei Ravada Baravas. Ravada Baravas says Kigon Mai. Who are these people that are not believed? I mean, you're talking about the Charfi or the Afli? Which are the ones? I mean, you just said this is Chafli. I already gave it away. And I said this is by the Charfi. This is by the Afli. But which is which? When do we believe them? When do we not believe them? So Chosin Shal Beis Avicha. He says, you know, like your father's house. Well, apparently, his father's house were those who delayed. So when they delayed, that's when they're not believed. When they would do it late in the season, that's when they're no longer believed. So the Gemara brings another teretz to the stira between the Mishnayos. Rav Yosef Amar b'Galil shanu. No, the Mishnah in Taros that tells us that Amaretz are not believed. That's so men in Galil. Those Amaretz that are in Galil, the Bnei Galil, are not believed about Taros Yayin Neshemen for Kodesh and for Truma. So the Mishnah is saying that Amaretz are believed is talking about in Yehuda. We already distinguished between Galil and Yehuda. So this is a further distinction between Galil and Yehuda, that in Galil, if an Amaretz wants to present Shemen to a Kohen, he's got to give him the fresh olives that have not yet become Mukshul L'Kabbal Tumah, and let the Kohen handle it. But in Yehuda, where he is believed about the Tara, so he can give the oil to the Kohen at the Shas HaGitos. Says Gemara, nah, that answer doesn't work. Eis ve'abaye, avar ha'yardin v'galil harein ki Yehuda. That avar ha'yardin v'galil, rather, harein ki Yehuda. That ne'manim al yayin b'shas ha'yayin, v'al ha'shemen b'shas ha'shemen, avalo al yayin b'shas ha'shemen, v'al ha'shemen b'shas ha'yayin. That avar ha'yardin and Galil are like Yehuda in that the Amay Aretz are believed on the Tara of the Yayin at the time of the Gitos and on the Tara of the Shemen at the time of the Badim, but they're not Ne'eman al Yayin b'shas HaShemen anywhere. We don't say that since he was Metar himself and his Kalim for Shemen, that we should believe him about Yayin also, even though it's not the Zman for pressing grapes. Nor do we believe him about the Shemen b'shas HaYayin. We don't say, oh, he was Metar himself and his Kalim for Yayin, so let's believe him about Shemen as well. So this Brisa is a Kasha on Rav Yosef, who said that in Galil, Amayarats aren't believed. The Bryce is Mufurish that they are believed at Shas HaGitos and Abadim in the Galil. So says Maram Chavatika Deshan Meikara. It has to be like the first answer that we said. The distinction is Becharfi versus Ba'afli. The distinction is whether they were early in the season or late in the season. So again, the question was, how can we say that Amayarats are in our Mishnah, that Amayarats are believed about the Tara of Truma B'Shas HaGitos? We have a Bryce, we have a Mishnah that tells us that if Amayarats want to give Truma to a Kohen, they got to give fresh olives that were never hooked to the Kabbal Tumah, let the Kohen handle it so that will be Torah Truma, what happened to his nemanos, shasagitos? So the ultimate answer is that if it's not shasagitos, he has no other etzah than to give fresh olives to the kohen. But einachinami, if it's shasagitos, shasabadim, then he is allowed to give it to the kohen because he's going to be believed at that point anyway. Then the Mishnah went on to say, avru agitos v'abadim evilo chavish al yai lo yikablenu emena al minachena legas haba'a. So the Mishnah had said this unbelievable chiddush, that if the shasagitos, shasabadim has already passed, so the time when the amaretz is believed is already passed, and he brings the barrel of wine to the kohen, Cohen's got to say, no thank you, because I don't trust the tara of it. However, he can leave it for the next pressing season, and then he can accept it from the Amaretz. So the Cohen, who's a chaver, should not be makabel the truma from the Amaretz, because the Shas HaGitos is already over, the Shas HaBadim is already over, but the Amaretz could bring it in the next season. So by the name of Rav Sheshes, they ask Rav Sheshes the following shayla. What if the Kohen already accepted it? Can he keep it in his property, in his possession, until the next pressing season and say, oh, now would be a time that the Amaretz would be able to present it to me. So now it's Shasagito, so now I'm good. So Rav Shesh said to Nisuha. We already learned this in the Mishnah, in the sixth parak of Maseches Tamai. Is that what the Mishnah Yomi is up to? Is that soon. We're within a week, probably, of the sixth parak of Maseches Tamai. Okay, close to Daf Yomi Kurinsos. If you have two brothers, let's say, you have a chaver va'ama aretz. You have one brother who eats chulin betara, and another brother who does not, is an ama aretz. Sheyarsh v'saviyem ama aretz, and they yarsh in their father who's an ama aretz. And the chaver wants to get his chelek in a way that he doesn't have to worry about tumah of the food that he's going to receive as the irusha that he gets from his father. So yachal lomer lo, he could say to his brother, the ama aretz, tola tachit in shemakom ploni, you take the wheat in a certain place where I know that, we're not talking about wheat that's attached to the ground, I'm talking about already harvested wheat. So you take the wheat that's already hukshal kabel tuma, vani chit in shemakom ploni, and I'm going to take wheat in a different place that I know is not hukshal kabel tuma. Since they're min echad, so you're allowed to rely on breru because it's all the same min. It's wheat and wheat, so you can say that whatever wheat I take, that was my chelek initially, and it's not that I'm trading with you. That's my chelek of the yerusha, and your chelek of the yerusha is the wheat that is hukshal kabel tuma. So you're allowed to do that, and you can also say tola tayyam. You take the wine in a particular location, which I know that is Tameh, Vani Yain Shem Makom Ploni, and I'll take the wine in a different location that I know is not Tameh. So that you're allowed to do. Avalo Yomalo, but the Chavar cannot tell his brother the Amma Aretz, Tol Atalach Vani Yavesh. Now the way Rashi understands this, or the way the Meiri, other Rishonim understand, the way the most Rishonim understand, Tala Talach means you take that which is Huchshal Kabel Tuma, and I'll take those payrolls that were never Huchshal Kabel Tuma, because that's already considered Shnei Minim. For me to say that you're going to take that which is the payrolls that are Huchshal Kabel Tuma, and I'm going to take the Yavish. Yavish means not necessarily that it's dry right now, but it's not Huchshal Kabel Tuma. That's already Shnei Minim. You're not allowed to rely on Breira. You have to assume that they're each 50% owners in all of the produce. And therefore, it turns out that he's trading Tamei produce that he's giving to the Amma Aretz, and that's called that he's being machshil the Amma Aretz, and you're not allowed to do that. Tala tachit in vanisa orim. Or he could say, and he also cannot say, you take the wheat, I'll take the barley, because they're both 50-50 partners in all the wheat, and they're 50-50 partners in all the barley. So before we explain why we're quoting all of this and what the relevance is, even minei ubei, this seems to be very problematic, meaning from the ration to the safe, it seems to be a stiva, right? Because we started out by saying, he says, you're allowed to say, you take the wheat of Makom Ploni, and I'll take the wheat of Makom Ploni. And how do we explain? Makom Ploni is where it's Huchshol Kabel Tuma, and the place where I'm going to take it from is where it's not Huchshol Kabel Tuma. Then we said, but you're not allowed to say, you tell Atalach Vani Yaveh. So you take that which is Huchshol Kabel Tuma, and I'll take that which is not Huchshol Kabel Tuma. It's the same thing. So, you know, they're both cases of you take that which is Huchshol Kabel Tuma, I'll take that which is not Huchshol Kabel Tuma. So Tereyev then raises that kasha, and he also says he doesn't understand how could the Mishnah assume that it's considered shnei minim when I say you take that which is huchshel kabel tuma and I'll take that which is not huchshel kabel tuma. That's not shnei minim. That's not two separate minim. That's going to be called shnei minim where I'm actually trading with it. I'm not allowed to do that. So the Netziv in Merome Sada says that in the Seifa where the reference is to peros that not only were huchshel kabel tuma, it says lach, that which is still moist, and therefore there's a big chilek between them, between those and the dry peiros. Not like in the Reisha, we were talking about peiros that are no longer moist, just that which was once hukshal lekabotuma. That which is still moist, apparently, is considered a totally separate min. The Mishnah Rishon explains within Shitas Rashi that, it's not like the Meiri and the Bartanur explained. The way Rashi learns this Gemara is when he says, Tola talach v'ani yavesh, he's talking about the nature of the produce. You take wine and oil, I'll take wheat and barley and things like that. So lach means liquids. You take liquids, I'll take the salads. Oh, that for sure is shnei minim, and it's totally different than the case of the Reisha, where he says, you take that which is hukshal lekabel tumah, and I'll take that which is not hukshal lekabel tumah. The Meiri says that some say lach and yavesh are considered shnei minim, because yavesh can last longer. So it relates to what we said before, that maybe lach over here means that it's still wet, and when something is wet, it's likely to spoil more quickly, so maybe that's why it's considered to be shnei minim. Tori Evin has an entirely different explanation, where he says, over here we're talking about truma, and since it's hukshra bi'araviyam, since it was hukshra kabotuma when their father had it, it became tameh, because the father was nama'aret, so he was metameh b'maga'o, and truma tameh is supposed to be burnt, so that's why there's shnei minim, because there's truma tameh, which has to be burnt over here. It's not just something that was hukshar, it's something that's actually tameh, so that's considered to be shnei minim. But anyway, why are we quoting all this? The deal that the chaver and brother is allowed to make with the amaretz brother when they yarshin the produce of the father, because v'tani Allah, the Tosefta elaborates on this mishnah and says also chaver that this chaver who's going to take has to take the chelek belach, he has to take a portion of the tameh stuff. What does he do? Soreif halach, if it's shemen shel truma, he's got to burn the tameh stuff. Umaniach is yavesh, and he can hang on to that which is yavesh, that which was not hukshar lekabel tumah, and use it. So and here's the raya. Amai, why does he have to burn that which was tameh? Why can't yanichena legas haba'ah? Why can't he just keep the truma around until the next pressing season? The next pressing season, amai aretz are believed about tahara. So what was the whole problem? He doesn't know for sure this stuff is tameh. He just knows that it was hukshar lekabel tumah and it was in the hands of an amaretz. So because it was in the hands of his father, it was an amaretz. But if we said that when an amaretz presents you something, when it's not the pressing season, you can just hang on to it until the Shas Hagitos, until the pressing season, and then it will become tar, because then Amei Aretz are believed. Why does this guy have to burn this stuff? Let him just hang on to his father's produce until the Shas Hagitos, and then he'll be able to keep it. So isn't this a raya that he's not allowed to do that? So it says, no, but davar she'en lo gas. Maybe we're talking about the type of produce that doesn't have a pressing season. We're talking about dates that are used to make beer. There is no date pressing season. So frankly, Marv Yani Chanel Regal, but can't even by dates, he can leave it till the time of Yom Tov, where he could then sell it. Because in Regal, during the Shas HaRegel, Amei Aretz are believed to be Becheskas Taharim, and their Chumas are believed to be Becheskas Taharim. They were not Gozer Tumas Amei Aretz Beregel. So since he has to burn it, it must be that even if he received it Be'isser, the Chacham do not allow him to leave it around. And so therefore, we're back to our Raya. So says Mar B'davar Sheinu Meshtam LeRegel. No, you're right. He would be allowed to leave it till Regel, but we're talking about something that would spoil by then. So then he has no choice but to burn it. So long story short, the Gemara raises the question, if the Amaretz presents the produce to the Chaver at a time when the Amaretz is not believed, the question was, can the Chaver just hang on to it until the time that the Amaretz is believed and then make use of the produce? And the Gemara seems to say, yeah, he can. Any indication that he has to burn something is only when there's no option of waiting till the Shas Hagitos, either because it doesn't have a Shas Hagitos, it's going to spoil by the Shas Hagitos. But in Chanami, if he received it, then he is allowed to hang on to it until the Shas Hagitos. Okay, now the next discussion in the Gemara is going to relate to the line in the Mishnah where it says, V'yamama refrashi l'tok revi is kodesh ne'man. That if the Amaretz, when he presents the Truma, shelo b'shas Hagitos, and he says, oh, by the way, there's a revius of kodesh in that Truma, so now you're allowed to believe him, because you're believing him because he's always believed about the kodesh. He's only not believed about the Truma, but there's kodesh mixed in with the Truma. So in order to elaborate on that line of the Mishnah, the Gemara has a discussion about Beis HaPras. A Beis HaPras really means three different things. The Mishnah in the 18th parak of Avos says that there are shlosha beis hapras l'seim. One is a field that shenechrash b'kever, where there was a kever in the field and was plowed over, and therefore there's an assumption that there are bone fragments scattered throughout the field. So the whole field is considered to be tameh on a drabban level. And then there's a sada shenevad b'kever, a field that a kever was there somewhere, but we forgot where it is in the field. So at any step in the field, you might be on the kever. So the whole field is considered to be tamei on a drabbanan level. And third is sada that's used as a hesped shel mesim, sada bochin, a place where they would go to give a spadim, that we also assume has a din midrabbanan, that the whole place is tamei. But a stam beis hapras, whenever we refer to a beis hapras just stam, it's always the first one. It's always a sada shenechrash bakever. It's a field where a kever was plowed over. So the whole field has this chashash tumah throughout the whole field. Now there's a discussion why it's called the beis hapras. What does the word pras have to do? Pras means like a half of, like a, you know, kazayis bichdei achil is pras. Pras means a half a loaf of bread, right? So a pras. So what does it have to do with halves? So Tosfos writes in Maseches Nida and Dafnun Zayin that it's a lashon of prusa, of exactly that, because the bones are broken. They're all broken and scattered throughout the field. So it's a beis hapras. It's a field that has broken bones that are scattered all over the field. Or it also says that it's called pras because of the prasos pnei adam, that it's trampled on by people's feet, that people walk all over it. So or people don't walk all over it because they're not allowed to, because there's an assumed tumah. The Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos says that it's called the beis hapras because the kever is spread evenly throughout the field. So it's like a prisas hasadin, like you spread the sheet over in a field, just like that's how Unklus is metargim vayifros es ha'ohel in yesterday's parsha. Daf Yom Kippur says uparas yas mishkana, that Moshe Rabbeinu spread the mishkan, he spread the curtain of the mishkan. So that's beis hapras, that you take the whole kever and you spread it out over the entire field. So anyways, that's the din of a beis hapras. So now says the Gemara, Tanan Hasam, even though we have a machlokas b'sham beis hillel whether bedikas beis hapras works for a nazir. Let's say a nazir wants to enter into a beis hapras, can he be bodek and make sure that there are no bone fragments there? So Beis Shammai says, yeah, a Nazir can rely on a Bedika. And Beis Hillel says, no, a Nazir is not allowed to rely on a Bedika. But the Mishnah says, Modem Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Shabbat can lose Pesach. That if you're trying to get to Yerushalayim to bring a carbon Pesach, then Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree that you can rely on a Bedika. But ain't both can lose Truma. You're not allowed to rely on a Bedika of a Beis HaPras if you need to get to eat Truma. That you have to assume that you're going to be Tameh. So my Botkin, what does it mean to do a Bedika of a Beis HaPras? What kind of Bedika would they be able to do of a beis hapras? So Rabbi Shmuel, menafeach adam beis hapras v'holech. What you would do is you'd blow on the top surface of the dirt to see if you uncover any bone fragments, and if you don't, then you know that it's tar, so you can keep walking. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Mishmedu Ula Amar beis hapras shenidash tar. Now both can see whether it's been sufficiently trampled on, because once it's been trampled on enough, then it's not, there's no chashash that there are any bones that remain there. You assume whatever bones are there have already been kicked away or already broken down to less than an etzem kasora or something like that, that they're no longer a threat. So those are the two deos in terms of what bedika means. Now why is the Mishnah mechalik between the tarav of beis hapras for osei pesach on the one hand versus ochli truma, that we say that osei pesach are not allowed to rely on a bedika's beis hapras according to anybody, but ochli truma osei pesach are allowed to rely on a bedika's beis hapras according to everybody, but ochli truma are not allowed to rely on bedika's beis hapras according to anybody. So why is that? So osei pesach lo amidu devrein b'makom kares, because the stakes are very high when it comes to osei pesach, that if you don't bring karm pesach chayv kares, it's one of the only one of only two mitzvahs to say in the Torah that failure to perform mitzvahs results in kares. So the chamer are not going to be so machmir about their din midrabanan called the beis hapras to prevent someone from bringing karm pesach who's going to be nisuk kares. But liochli truma amidu devrein b'makom misa. But for ochli truma they were machmir, they did maintain their din when it comes to the misa b'dei shemayim. What does it mean misa b'dei shemayim? Someone who eats truma betuma is chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. Now over here we're not even saying that the guy's going to have to eat truma betuma. We're just saying that he won't be able to eat the truma. So that's a bitul asay of mitzvah of achilas truma. It's even less than that. It's even less than real misa. So you buy lu. So now the Gemara, this is where it comes back to our Mishnah. If a person is bodek a beis hapras in the proper way in order to be able to bring Karban Pesach, can he now eat Truma? Meaning, he went through the beis hapras and he said, I'm Torah enough to bring Karban Pesach. So once we rely on his Tara status for Karban Pesach, can he also eat Truma? Do we rely on his Tara status for Truma as well? So Ula Amar Bodek L'Pischa Mutalach L'B'Trumaso. Ula says, yeah. If we're telling him that he's Torah for Pesach, we can't talk out of two sides of our mouth at the same time. tell him you're Torah for Pesach, but you're not Torah for Truma. Rabbi Rula Amar Badek L'Pischo Asu Lechel B'Truma. No, if he's Badek L'Pischo, he's not allowed to eat Truma. So I'm like, who's Saba? Said to Rabbi Rula, Lo Tifel Galei Du Ula. Don't disagree with Ula. Ditnan Kavasei, because our mission Chagiga says just like Ula. Why? Because it says in our Mishnah, Imamar if Rashi L'Tocha Revius Kodesh, if the Amaritz presents you with Truma, which he has no Ne'amanus on the Tower of the Truma, but he says, oh, don't worry, I put some Kodesh into that Truma Ne'aman. Then he's going to be believed. So Alma de Mehemen Hakodesh, Mehemen Hakodesh, Mehemen Ami Truma. That since we believe about the Tower of the Kodesh, Mimela, we believe about the Tower of the Truma as well. So Achanami, Mehemen HaPesach, Mehemen Ami Truma. So over here also, if since we're going to believe him, it's like a mitoch, that since we're going to believe him about his Tara, as far as Pesach is concerned, we're going to believe him about Truma as well. And I saw a discussion in the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta. He quotes a Chuvas Nadiv Lev, where it discusses, you know, there's a halacha that if you send food with a Nachri, so there needs to be a chosim on the food to know that he didn't tamper with it. But Basar and Gvina have two different halachas. Basar needs Shnei Chosamos, Gvina only needs Chosam Echad. A pizza shop doesn't need the same delivery system that a butcher does in terms of delivering with. So what if you order from a supermarket and they you buy cheese and you buy meat and they put it in the same box and they put Chosam Echad on it? So are you allowed to trust that the meat's okay also? Because you're trusting that it wasn't tampered with as far as the cheese. And it was in the same box, so either it was tampered with or it wasn't tampered with. So you try to bring a raya from this, that mitoch that you're going to believe him on one, maybe you'll believe him on the other. It could be that that's only when it comes to dinim d'rabbanan, like what we're talking about over here, that when it comes to dinim d'araisa, maybe you're not going to have such an amanus. There's a more elaborate discussion. There's a discussion there was a case where there was a guy who shechted seven animals, and one of them had a trefa that was found in it, and the trefas and the ksheros were all mixed in, and before the leidas hasafek, half of the behema of one behema was sold becheskas kashrus already, so it's already out there in the field. So I have 6.5 animals, one of them is a trefa, I don't know which one, and half an animal is out there. So the halacha is that kol kavua is kemechzal mechzadami, that anything that's kavua in its location is kemech, but kol de parish is meruba parish. So what am I going to say? Kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami, whatever I have here is kavua, so that's 50-50, Savik Daraisa Lechumra. But called the parish, 6 out of 7 animals were kosher. So whatever's already out there in the market, whatever's already out there in the field, that's already considered Meruba parish. But it's the same animal. Half the animal you can tell me is kosher, half the animal you can tell me is not kosher. So that's a discussion whether you can say such a thing. Pri Chadash gets very excited about this. This related to a number of years ago, Rabbi Belsky's famous psak on that Erev Pesach when they found in Los Angeles, when they found all the trefa meat. So he had some sort of unusual psak that confused everybody, but it was based on these dinim about what's parish and what's kavua and at what point they found the problem versus when there was no leidus hasafek. Okay, no time to get into that right now. But tomorrow we'll pick up from there. Have a great day, everybody.